context, Christmas sort of simplified. It'd be better to say summarized, really, in just two things. Amidst of the hustle and bustle, amidst of the busyness, don't you know that while this would be the most wonderful time of the year, this can also quickly become the busiest time of the year. I spoke to a couple of different people this last week. Full disclosure, I was inviting them to add something more to their for sure already full schedule. It definitely wasn't good timing on my part. It was interesting, though, because both commented, both responded in the same sort of way, feeling, I'm going to use this word, if I remember, one of them actually used it as well, feeling overwhelmed with all that was going on, with all that they were having to do. In the midst of the busy, in the midst of the full schedule, the overwhelming list this morning was sort of a reminder. But my brother, my sister, don't forget this. Don't forget these two things. Don't start the season without first setting this as the foundation of it. Let everything that this Christmas season would be for you, let everything that it would include for you, let all of that be ultimately because of this. Don't rush through the season without remembering this, without ensuring somehow, some way for you that there is the constant reminder of this. The foundation, the reminder, Christmas simplified, Christmas summarized. In the midst of all the rest that it is, it will be the heart of it all, at the center of it all, what Christmas is really all about, the real reason for the season. First this, there's a Savior to celebrate. It's true for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, truly every day ought to be a celebration of Him. That being true, this time of the year set aside to commemorate His birth, how much more so this should be a time set aside, how much more so this season should be a time set aside to celebrate Him. Let me say it this way, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, every day. So then, listen now, even especially every day of this Christmas season ought to be a celebration of Jesus. A celebration of this, He's God, who has clothed Himself in flesh. He's become one of us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life is the light of men. Verse 9, the true light that gives life to every man was coming into the world. Verse 14, the Word, remember that Word that was with God, that Word that was God, He became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father's soul of grace and truth. All the time, for sure, especially at this time, this is the celebration. God has come near to us, become one of us, to save us. Paul Harvey, back in the day, told the story. He's heard it before. I've shared it before. This is about a modern man, one of us. He was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with others. But he did not believe in all that incarnation stuff that the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him. He was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just could not swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he would much rather stay home, but that he would wait up for them. He stayed. They went. Shortly after the family drove away and the car slumped in the fall, he went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, then went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another and another. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against the living room window. Well, when he went to the front door, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm in the desperate search for shelter. They had tried to fly through his large landscape window. He couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze. He remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. He quickly put on his coat and glasses, trampled through the deepening snow to the barn, opened the door wide, and turned on a light. But the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them in, and he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooting them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. Then he realized it. They were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I'm some strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know they can trust me, that I'm not going to hurt them, but to help them." How? Any move he made tended to frighten them, to tease them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only he himself was a bird, he thought. If only I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid and show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I'd have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sound of the wind. He stood there listening to the bells. Listening to the bells, hearing the glad tidings of Christmas. Of God who became man. So loved you that he sent his one and only son to die for you to be your savior. Can I remind you of that this morning? He was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. Can I remind you this morning? This is the reason of our dear Savior's birth. God has come near to us. God has become one of us to pay the ransom for us. We belong to this world, to sin, to Satan, in a price to be paid to purchase our salvation, our forgiveness, our freedom. A price had to be paid to satisfy God's wrath against our sin. According to Scripture, blood had to be shed for that. You understand, this baby born in the manger, no doubt he in fact comes for many reasons and many things, but ultimately he comes for this, that he might die, that his blood might be shed, God's judgment for sin put on him instead of you. And the price paid, his broken body, his shed blood, his death, that price paid enough to purchase you. God has come near to us. God has become one of us. He's saved us. He's paid the ransom for us. He's forgiven us of all of our sins. The Colossians chapter 2, you were dead in sins and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ. For he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins, how beautiful this, and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. He removed the barrier that would separate us from God. Once alienated from him, once enemies of him, he's made the relationship to be right. He's made there to be peace. That's the celebration. The Savior who comes, God in flesh appearing, so that we might not be enemies of God any longer. God has come near. become one of us, so that we might in fact become his friends, even better, so that we might become children of God. In Galatians chapter 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem us, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child, and since you're his child, God will give you all that he has for his children. I maybe share this with you often, but still once more, listen, it's the truth. Be careful of how you think and how you say. Listen, everyone is not a child of God. All people aren't his children. All are created by him and with the purpose to serve him, but not all are his children. Oh God, he loves the world out there. They're all his children after all. No. No, they're not. Listen, it's this baby in the manger, this Jesus, this Savior. It's him and him alone that makes you, that makes me, anyone else, him and only him that makes us to be a child of God. To reject him is to disqualify ourselves from belonging to God. Disqualifies ourselves from being his family, being his son, being his daughter. To reject him, to not have him. Do you understand? You're good people in the room this morning. But if he doesn't come, if there's no Savior to celebrate, there's no relationship with God, your Father, to enjoy, to live. God has come near to us, become one of us, made us to be children of God. According to Hebrews, he's granted us access to God, guaranteed for us the ever-constant presence of God. Listen, it's the truth. He will never leave you. He will never forsake or fail you. He's made us the inheritors of all the promises of God. Romans chapter 8, and since we're his children, we will share his treasure, for all God gives to his son Jesus is now ours too. God has come near to us, become one of us, so that we might become new. Listen, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, all because Jesus has come. We were once sinners, the wages of our sin, death. We once belonged to the devil, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, because of Jesus, the Savior who's come, the Savior we celebrate, because of him we get the gift of God, we get life. Abundant life, more and better life, even eternal life. God has come near to us, become one of us. Because of him, we have victory. We live in victory over sin, over sickness. Listen, can I remind you this morning, my brother, my sister, you have the victory over sin. You don't have to be bound by sin anymore. Listen to me. Equally as true, you have the victory over sickness. Listen to the truth, the Lord is with you. He is. You have victory over fear and worry, over discouragement, over despair. In him, because of him, we have hope, a hope that doesn't disappoint. Not ever. God has come near to us, become one of us. Now we have a high priest who's able to sympathize, empathize with us. A high priest who knows us, who understands our weakness. A high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. God has come near to us, become one of us. He's brought us into his family. In Psalm 68 and verse 6, God gives the lonely a home. Look around the room. This place, a home for you. Look around the room. These brothers and sisters, what you have because of Jesus, a place and a people where you love and experience life. So in the spirit of Christmas, I think of Jesus, the Savior we celebrate in the context of our gift exchange. Our gift to him, all of our bad, everything that is bad, our loneliness, our sin, our sickness, our shame, declaration. We give all that to Him, our gift to Him, and in turn He gives to us His gift. He gives us His life. He gives us His mercy, His grace. He gives us the gift of salvation. He gives us His forgiveness. He gives us His peace, His hope. He gives us freedom. He gives us victory. He gives us a place in His family where we call Him Father and each other brother and sister. His gift to us, all the good we would so desperately long for and yet could never have on our own. What a gift exchange, right? But you understand this morning, no wonder, at the heart of it all that would be this season, all that would be Christmas time, there's a Savior to celebrate. I pray it's the most wonderful time of the year for you. I pray your calendar is filled with friends and family. Not too filled, but filled with friends and family. I pray that you enjoy just the thrill of shopping. I know the traffic and the lines are long. We don't always like to be out, but out and about and the lights and the decorations and to be out shopping and the gift getting and all the rest. I pray it's the most wonderful time of the year for you. But in the midst of it all, I pray most of all that you are constantly reminded this season is all about the Savior we celebrate and a love that we share. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, He's loved us, and for that, because He has, because He's loved us first, we now love. John chapter 13 and verse 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. In 2 John 3 and verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His love for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with action and in truth. Scripture is clear. The command is to love. We've been loved and now we love. We share love. And the expression of that shared love is to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. It's to lay down our lives for one another. It's to help people in need. It's to be kind. It's to be generous. It's to love not just in word, but in deed. The love in action and in truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Tell those who are rich not to be proud, not to trust in their money, because they'll be gone. With pride, with trust to be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need. Always be ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. That's the expression of love. That's the love to share. Being rich in good works. Can I encourage you? We're 7 days in. There's 24 left. For the remaining 24, let's determine that each and every day is how we're going to be, is how we're going to live our lives, to be rich in good works, happily, cheerfully, generously giving to those in need, ready to share whatever God has given. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Lord Jesus Himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's the expression of love. That's the love to share. Living life giving rather than taking. Can I encourage you? Be a giver. Listen, my brother, my sister, I pray you're blessed with all kinds of good things. I pray that you get and you get and you get and you get more and more and more good gifts from the Father. Oh, but listen this morning, my brother, my sister, be a giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. After all, can I encourage you, may there ever be evident in our lives the expression of love. Wherever we go, whenever we go, always knowing from us the sharing of love with all that we have ever been. Can I encourage you? life to others. Speak encouragement, speak truth, speak blessing. Share love. At the grocery store, check out love. At the Christmas shopping, check out love. Listen, you have an opportunity to speak love, to speak blessing. You have an opportunity to share love. Divine love, may you share that love with others. I encourage you, 24 days that remain, even today before it's finished, look for the loneliness that God may make your path to prosperity. Find someone to be a friend to. Find someone to be present with. Find someone to be a good listener to. Of their concerns, their needs, what they're going through in life, share that love with them. Be a distributor of hope wherever you go. Be a proclaimer of peace. Help mend the relationship. Be a bridge builder, a minister of reconciliation. Extend forgiveness. And receive forgiveness. Make the relationship to be right again. Make there to be peace again. Francis of Assisi attributed to him his prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It's in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. And I think the real sharing of love is to share Jesus with people. He is the most wonderful gift that has ever been given. He is the greatest gift you've ever received. Why not then be most generous with him? Share him with others. Make him known wherever you go, whenever you go. Tell others of him who he is, what he does, who he's been to you, what he's done for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul will say this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. He says this, that keeps us vigilant, you can be sure. It's no light thing to know that we'll all one day stand in that place of judgment. Listen, that's why we work urgently with everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. Paul will go on to say this, for Christ loves and tells us. Listen, there's a love to share. You, my brother, my sister, you have a love to share. Share that love. It's the foundation this morning. It's the reminder. Christmas simplified. Christmas summarized in the midst of all the rest that it is and will be. The heart of it all, at the center of it all, what Christmas is really all about, the real reason for the season. Listen, you have a Savior to celebrate. And you have a love to share. Celebrate Him every day who He is, what He's done for you. Celebrate Him every day of this Christmas season. Find a way. Listen, be intentional, be purposeful. Don't just find a way, make a way to share that love every day of this Christmas season. Father, thank you this morning for this most wonderful, this most beautiful time of the year. Thank you for the joy of celebrating your birth. All that it means to us, God, in flesh appearing. thank you that you paid the ransom. You bought us from our slavery to sin and death. We thank you for that. Thank you for the hope that you've given to us. Thank you for the peace that is ours. Thank you, Jesus, for all that we have in you and because of you. Oh, it really is true. All that we have to celebrate, all because of Jesus. This season, then, no wonder, the celebration of our Savior. And Lord, I pray for each one this morning. As we have received love from you, may we be quick to share that love. May we find the opportunity, look for the opportunity, make the opportunity to happen to share your love with our brothers and sisters right here in this church tonight. With any and every stranger that we would meet out there in the street. Lord, we have a Savior to celebrate. We have a love to share. Help us to be faithful in both the celebration and the sharing this Christmas season, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just for a moment, we prepare ourselves to partake the bread and the cup this morning. Would you just have a moment of prayer to make yourself ready to receive this morning? My brother, my sister, make sure that your heart is right. Ask Him to forgive you. Not just relationship with Him, but make sure you're aware of relationship that needs to be repaired with a brother, with a sister. This is where to stand this morning. According to Scripture, we partake wrongly. If we partake in sin, whether that's sin against Him or sin against one another, relationship must be made right. We ask the Lord to cleanse us. We ask the Lord to help us. We go to Him, we go to a brother, we go to a sister to make things right this morning so that we can partake rightly of His broken body, broken for us, so that we can partake rightly His blood shed for us. Forgiveness of our sins, just for a moment. Have a moment with Jesus this morning. Thank Him for what He's done. Celebrate Him this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we celebrate You, Jesus. We celebrate You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, do this for a minute. Oh, we praise the name of Jesus this morning. This our celebration. Oh, we praise Your name. Our Lord, our God, we praise You this morning. We celebrate Your body that was broken, Your blood that was shed. We celebrate Bethlehem's manger. We celebrate God in flesh appearing. We celebrate Emmanuel. We celebrate Jesus, our Savior this morning. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You. I pray, God, that today, just the beginning of what will be a month long and even into a new coming year, celebrating our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You. Jesus, we thank You for Your body that was broken for us so that we might be made whole, so that we might be healed. Thank You for Your body that was broken so that healing can come to ours, wholeness come to ours. Healing and wholeness come to our mind and our heart and our spirit. We thank You for that this morning, Lord. We thank You. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the bread together, church. Take of the bread this morning with a grateful heart. Whether you sing it or say it, you're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Come on, praise Him for a minute. Thank Him for a minute. You're worthy, Jesus. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. We give You all the honor this morning. Because You're worthy. Because You're worthy, Jesus. We join with the host of heaven this morning. We sing worthy. We sing worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before we go, enjoy His presence for a minute, can we, church? Hallelujah. Let Him minister to you this morning. Let Him touch you this morning. Let Him help you this morning. Let Him draw you to Himself. The glory. The Savior we celebrate this morning. Oh, You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Brother, my sister, the Lord bless you and keep you. Listen now, church, may He make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And each and every one of us this morning may turn to us, remind us the reason for the season, a Savior to celebrate, a love to share. May He turn to us and give to us His peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.